Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Welcome in, Sean Parnell. I love your Instagram, you know, your titling of yourself, husband, father, combat veteran, and of course, New York Times bestselling author. You wear a lot of hats, my friend, but we thank you for coming in this Friday.
Thank you for that introduction. Yes, husband, father are the two most important jobs that I have by far. So thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. So tell me, why do you think it's important for, I mean, I reported earlier on Truth Social, Trump doubling down and putting out there that he 100% supports Pete Hegseth. Why do you think it's important to stop this as the liberal media and others get a taste of blood, if you will, with regard to Matt Gaetz? And so why do you think this is important to stand behind him?
This is the core of the issue right here, because look, they already were able to get rid of Matt Gaetz, and now they're putting the full force behind trying to ditch Pete Hegseth. If they are successful in the uniparty, entrenched bureaucrats, call them whatever you want, the deep state, if they're successful, they will come for Tulsi. Mm-hmm. And then they will go to RFK, and then they will go to Cash, and it will be the same playbook over and over and over again. Smear somebody's personal life with lies, smear their legacy, smear their business acumen and leadership, and attack their family. That is what they do to every single America First conservative out there. And the reason for that is that they're outside of the system. They're outside the uniparty. They can't be controlled. And if you can't be controlled, you're a threat to the status quo. And if you're a threat to the status quo, you threaten people's bank accounts. And it's just as simple as that. And look, I, all cards on the table for people that are listening. You know, I have known Pete for a very long time. He's a friend of mine. We were in the infantry way back in the day. We worked together at Concerned Veterans for America. He was the chief executive officer. I was his senior advisor. So all of those alleged events that were supposed to have happened during his tenure at CEO at the organization, I was there for all of them. And I'm telling you, I mean, I was at the organization for all of them. Mm-hmm. And I read that New Yorker piece from Jane Meyer. Yes. And I don't expect anything that the media says to be true. Mm-hmm. But everything in it was a lie. Trust me when I tell you, I was in Louisiana with Pete Hegseth at the Defend Freedom Tour event down there. There was no strip clubs involved. I think I would remember that. it's all complete lies. And I couldn't stand idly by. Yeah. While they attacked Pete. Pete doesn't need me to defend him. You see him on TV. He's very articulate and smart. But I know for a fact, having been through this myself, running for Senate in Pennsylvania, how this affects his kids and his kids. He's actually got one more kid than me, which is kind of crazy because I have five. But but this affects children in very deep and profound ways, and they don't deserve it. They're not up for consideration as Secretary of Defense. And so that's why I wanted to come out and defend him. He's a good man.
And you're somebody, U.S. Army Airborne Ranger, served as on the legendary 10th Mountain Division for years. You retired as a captain, two Bronze Stars, Purple Heart. There were people in the media actually saying, Sean, that in fact, they should just go with Governor DeSantis because he has actual military experience, saying that questioning the service of Pete Hegseth.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of what they do. This is part of their smear operation. And to be clear about something, like, to give people a sense of how this works, Pete Hegseth is the guy. Trump makes the nod, right? He gives Pete Hegseth the thumbs up. Immediately, like, Republicans who are interested in becoming Secretary of Defense get mad, get jealous, and they start running info operations against Pete. And much of what you're seeing in the media is because of the fire coming from inside the wire. Like, I'm just telling you, not attacking Joni Ernst at all. I actually like her. I'm just saying she wanted to be Secretary of Defense, and Pete got the nod. So understand this for what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, the moment that these people start to smell blood in the water, like a media narrative is shifting against Pete, at the very same time, you see the Wall Street Journal piece drop and say, well, look at DeSantis. Boy, isn't he a great, clean alternative? It is critical for people to understand this. This is all fake. It's all manufactured. like Pete is doing a good job. He's the man for the job, and we have to stand by him because if we lose him, they're coming for the next Trump nominee, and that means none of the reform that Trump was elected to bring will happen. And this is the last thing I'll say, and I'm sorry, I know I'm going off on this, but the role of the Senate bestowed upon them by the Constitution is advice and consent. Nowhere in that equation is obstruction. So, like, the president is entitled to his cabinet. For Republican senators in deep red states to say, no thanks, I don't want this, is to thumb their nose, not just at President Trump, but the tens of millions of Americans who voted for him. And I got a real problem with that.
Yeah. What do you make of the final hearing that happened yesterday on the, I know that you saw it, Sean Parnell, looking into the, lack of, I don't know what you want to say, just
well,
lack of ability.
Showed up that day and did get, there was apathy and complacency, period.
Boom. This is looking into the Trump assassination attempts, not just here from in Pennsylvania, Butler, PA, J13th, but also the one in Florida. What did you make of the fireworks between, Ron Rowe Jr. and Congress members?
It was a perfect microcosm of the problem that we have in this country. You know, acting director Ron Rowe is a bureaucrat, and he's a ladder climber, and he doesn't believe that he's beholden to the American people. And you saw that play out yesterday as he is screaming at a Republican Congress. And by the way, like for people who are listening, like this isn't like Democrat or Republican partisan jab here. Democrat or Republican, members of the House of Representatives represent their constituents. Sometimes I don't agree with those members of Congress, but the questions that they ask in these committees are asked on behalf of their constituents. So to scream an entrenched bureaucrat who's not elected, by the way, who works because we pay his salary, screaming at a member of Congress on either side of the aisle is emblematic, really, of all the problems that we have here in this country and every single institution, that they have a disdain for the American people. They think they know better. And again, I got a real problem with that.
You know, Sean, I'll never forget, when you stood on the stage and you talked about, it was powerful, when you recounted what it was like to be just feet away from President Trump when he was shot by that wannabe assassin. And then I fast forward to today, and actually Dan Borowski, our great executive producer, and I were talking about this earlier, that we should not be surprised, but it is kind of shocking that the media, I mean, they never want to talk about what happened, not just once. But twice.
Yeah. I mean, you are so right about that. And having lived through that day, as you mentioned, we know about as much today as we knew within 24 hours of the attack, and that's next to nothing. Within 48 hours of Hinckley trying to assassinate Ronald Reagan, the world knew everything there was to know about the would-be assassin in an age where we had far less information at our fingertips. And so you see that dynamic is unquestionably true. And the lack of transparency out of the Secret Service and the federal bureaucracy with regards to the first assassination attempts, it's just shameful. And it leads me to believe that there's something nefarious being covered up. Because how could there not be?
Yeah.
The question of how does a 20-year-old kid with no training whatsoever get past the best protective agency in the entire world and get in a building 130 yards away with direct line of sight of the President of the United States? That question has never been answered, and it needs to be answered because we lost someone here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, two others wounded, and 40,000 people there who will probably remember that for the rest of their life.
Yes. Sean, for you as somebody, you're known as an American war hero, somebody who served in our military. Just your reaction to the breaking news that we're getting word that the New York jury in the Daniel Penny case is now saying they are deadlocked on the manslaughter count in the subway trial that has been ongoing. Your reaction to that?
Oh, my gosh. So you're saying they're deadlocked, so they haven't come to a decision?
Yep. They cannot reach a unanimous decision.
No, it was just sent over.
It's a travesty. It's a travesty. And I'm telling you, when we say that everything in this country is upside down, this is another good example of what I mean. The Good Samaritan story has been told for hundreds, if not thousands of years about the importance of stepping up in being there for people when they need it most. What they're doing to Daniel Penny turns that story that was supposed to teach young kids and people from one generation after the next. Sometimes in order to be a hero, you step up and defend people who can't defend themselves. That's what Daniel Penny did on that subway. And these left-wing prosecutors are turning, you know, virtuous stories that are thousands of years old on their head because they think they know better. It's shameful. I shudder to think what it will do in subsequent generations of this country. I mean, just who the hell is going to step forward and defend somebody when they think they're going to go to jail for manslaughter if something goes wrong? It's just horrifying. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And it just needs to stop.
Yeah, they have yet to reveal. I don't see that they're revealing. So on the first charge, the bigger charge, Sean, of the second degree manslaughter, that's the one that they are just deadlocked on. However, there's that secondary charge of criminally negligent homicide, which could potentially still carry a 15-year sentence, although there's not a mandate here. But I'm not seeing that they've said they're deadlocked on both. So we'll wait for that. But I agree with you. I just think of the media bias, even as Dan, and thank you for sending me this. Dan had sent the local ABC station in New York. They, among all the local stations there that the jury can't help but see, they're calling it the chokehold trial. So think
about
this. The defense of this Good Samaritan is his defense attorney's putting on saying, hey, our evidence and our experts say that this individual did not die of a chokehold. It's known as the chokehold trial. How do you?
Yeah, they branded it that for a reason. Yeah, they branded it that for a reason. I mean, this is why conservatives should always be very careful of, you know, left-wing language and left-wing media narratives, because in some ways, oh, the chokehold trial, I mean, what already presumes guilt? I mean, like Daniel Penny, oh, well, he choked the guy, and already that idea is planted in the minds of the jury, and that's completely wrong. I mean, he was protecting people on that subway from someone who had already been charged, arrested, and released multiple times. Like, this is a good man trying to defend people. That's what he took an oath to do. I think he's a United States Marine, right?
Yes. Still,
that's what he took an oath to do. That oath doesn't go away when the uniform is off. And for him now to be charged for that, again, anytime you see some horrible thing happen and you see all these people standing around with their cell phones, and we all wonder, what the heck are those people doing standing around with their cell phones? Why aren't they trying to help? Well, this is why. Yeah. This is why. And because of stuff like this, unfortunately, I think this is going to happen more until we fix it.
Just to underline your point, Dawn, here's an ABC 7 desk reporting.
Jurors wrapped up their third day of deliberations in the subway chokehold trial.
Yep.
Yeah, chokehold trial. I'm looking at CNN. I mean, just across the board. Listen, Sean Parnell, thank you so much for being here. You're always gracious with your time. You're an American. You really deserve the American Patriot Award there last night, too.
Oh.
But, you know, you kind of got trumped.
I'm fine with it.
Thanks, Sean.
Hey, Sean, where can we find Battleground, sir?
Oh, I'm on Rumble live every night from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Just go follow me over there. It'd be great to have you.
Awesome.
Yeah,
thanks,
the best. Sean, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
God bless.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.